Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. Nice to have you back with us. How you doing?
Yeah, nice to be back. Sorry to have deserted you for so long, but not sorry.
That's all right. I mean, tan. Rex Road left me for 2 weeks, too, so it's all good.
It's true.
Well, he's got a bigger responsibility to you, I would say, than these 10 minutes.
So are you tan or no?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had cancer on my face at one stage, so I don't seek the sun like an Adonis like you, Joe, but I have a little bit of a tan. I also wear a big floppy hat a lot.
Probably a good call.
Fair point.
Very, very nicely said. So, PK, obviously DeAndre Hopkins coming to Nashville. We've talked about the possibility of that for a while now at this point, but now that it's happening, what do you think this does for this offense? How big a deal is this for the Titans in your mind?
Well, hopefully it's a big deal. I mean, you have to have some caution with the Titans and an aging receiver, but they're certainly a lot better with him than they are without him when we know that the receiving core was completely deficient. You know, your hope is that compared to some of the older receivers they've brought in, he's not as speed reliant. He's never been a speed guy. He's never been a huge separation guy. He is a guy that does great work taking the ball away from people in contested catches. And you would think that is less likely. That's a skill that is less likely to decay with age than guys who are speed reliant. So I think that's part of it. Very curious to see about his practice willingness, if you will, and ability, because that's been a big thing. And to make those kind of catches and the back shoulder catches that he's so good at, he's got to have a lot of practice experience with Ryan Tannehill. So hopefully he's available and willing, and they can find the right amount of practice for him through training camp to develop that chemistry, and he can stay healthy. You know, he can stay healthy is something we have to add to a conversation about virtually anybody on this roster. But, you know, there's reason to be excited, but, you know, you have to be a little bit cautious based on what's happened with older receivers here before and based on the fact that he has slowed down a little bit already, though a slower DeAndre Hopkins is certainly better than anybody they have, including probably Treylon Burks.
So let's say it does work out well he's available all or most of the season. He's past the injuries, you know, he comes in, he fits in well, all that stuff. What do you think that means for this offense and for this team's bottom line, PK?
I think it means Tim Kelly is huge, and we need to see what this new offense looks like, how willing they are to change, to be less predictable, to go away from Derrick Henry a little bit more, or to change the way he gets his carries. And I think it comes down really then to Kelly, to health, and I think they should be right there in the AFC South. I think Tannehill's being dismissed by too many people in terms of what he can do in the regular season, and I think they should probably be back to a place where we're talking about what Tannehill can do in a January playoff game.
PK, what do you think
Joe, the defense, I think, you know, we might be giving too much credit to off the top, certainly if they have to call on depth.
Paul Kuharski with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So what do you think this does, PK, for Burks, not from the standpoint of learning behind Hopkins, although I'm sure that he will, but just from a matchup standpoint with Hopkins coming in, how beneficial do you think that should be for Treylon Burks?
Well, I mean, certainly he's going to draw a lesser corner some of the time, at least. Hopkins has been better against zone than against man. More recently, Mike Herndon writes about that in a piece that's up at PaulKarski.com this morning. But look, it's got to be better for Treylon Burks. And a lot of people are thinking it's better for Derrick Henry. It's going to have a much bigger influence on Treylon Burks than Derrick Henry. I don't know. These people that think it's going to back people out of the box totally missed the boat, you know, when they brought in Julio Jones and he started on opening day and everybody thought things were going to back off with he and A.J. Brown. It's not going to back off. They're not going to back off Derrick Henry, period. And you know, Hopkins, again, isn't a speed guy, never has been a speed guy. He's not a big downfield threat. And people aren't coming out of the box on Derrick Henry, you know, and I don't think they would if Derrick Henry had a bad month. You know, the Titans would have to really do some things that are different over an extended period of time for defenses to play them differently. But I think it does have, as you're indicating, a big effect on Burks in terms of the coverage that he will draw. And it puts everybody, you know, look, Burks is now more the two, and it reshuffles the wide receiver order. Everybody's back in a natural position. Joe, you know, has campaigned for NWI to be the two for a long time. And NWI now is the four or the five, which is what he needs to be. Chris Moore is the four or the five, which is what he needs to be. People go back to natural spots that they are suited for.
So going back to the press conference after the draft, Paul, you asked Vrabel about that position. Do you think he was telegraphing this at the time now?
No. Look, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but this is ridiculous, the idea that the Titans, at the end of the draft, A, knew that a high-quality veteran receiver was going to get cut. All right, you can maybe predict that. And B, knew that they were going to win the bidding war with 30 other potential suitors for him. That's not a plan, Joe. That's good fortune. I mean, it's good for them that it happened. But if you come out of the draft and say, okay, now our plan is to sit back and wait on a guy to get cut and then out-negotiate people to get him, I mean, you need two strokes of good fortune to happen there. That's not a plan. I mean, you could say that's what we hope to happen. That's what we want to happen. But that's not in your control like regular free agency or the draft when you can assure yourself of getting that guy. So I applaud them for making this happen, but they needed two big things to happen to allow for it that were out of their control. One, Arizona cutting him, and two, his willingness to sign with them. They can't necessarily out. You have no idea what other people are going to bid. You have no idea if he's willing to come to Tennessee when he's talking, you know, Super Bowl dreams and all of that. And when somebody like Baltimore is given $15 million a year or $15 million for a year to Odell Beckham, you have no idea what the market's going to dictate. So they look very smart now. But there was hardly a guarantee that things were going to unfold this way.
I hear you. Other than, you know, you say out of their control, I mean, I'd love to know what the next best offer was. And obviously, there weren't many. Like, if they were willing to offer this kind of money, they probably felt pretty good about outbidding everybody else, right?
Yeah, but they had no idea. You had no idea. You know, look at Baltimore with Odell Beckham. Who was the second bidder on that? People, you know, teams bid against themselves and make stupid moves financially all the time. Yeah, so we have no idea what the Patriots offered, and Kansas City was allegedly in it if they got a restructure, a new contract done for one of their guys over there. Certainly it looks to be a nice contract, but, you know, Herndon said if he meets all of the incentives over the 2 years, he'll be the 18th highest paid receiver in the league. That'll be a steal. So it's not monster money. So, you know, what are the odds that somebody gave him a deal better than the 18th paid wide receiver in the league over the next 2 years? I would have thought pretty good. So, again, I give him credit for getting it done. You know, I think they're in a great position here. But to go to the 11th hour, so to speak, and to count on these two things to happen is a risky play. It's good that they got the risky play done, but to smugly sit up there and say we're not done and something's going to happen was a risky play for sure.
PK, last thing here for you. So, I mean, obviously everybody feels better about wide receiver right now with Hopkins coming in. There is still the offensive line and Nicholas Petit-Frere being suspended for the first six games. So what do you make of that, and how are you trying to fix that if you're Vrabel? What are you doing to address the offensive line in the first six games with him being out?
That's just a killer. So dumb. I mean, and, you know, Petit-Frere told Nick Suss, you know, that he was having trouble understanding the whole thing. I don't know how you're having trouble understanding a thing. Can you read? Can you listen to Vrabel spell it out for you? And if you still don't understand it, can you circle back to those people and say, I don't understand it? Or how about not betting while you don't understand it? You know, it's really disappointing from a guy that comes across as smart. I would think Jamarco Jones, who's a huge mystery man, we don't know anything about the guy, would be at the front of the line because he's got some experience, but you're going to need to help that right tackle more, whether it's him or Jalen Duncan. And I would think those are the two main guys. A lot of people now want to, you know, play both Skowronski and Dillard at tackle. I don't think Dillard is very promising on the right side based on what he's done. But then you create guard problems, and I don't know that you want to spread the problem out throughout the line. So just my personal feeling, but I would think they're going to find a right tackle and go six games with him and you know, Wesco or whoever the blocking tight end is going to be is going to spend some time on the right side of the line, which makes it harder on Dillard, who maybe was going to need that help. So, you know, you're right. Hopkins' presence now shifts the problem area entirely to offensive line, I think.
Yep, no question about that. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. PK, thanks for being with us, man. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely. Paul Kuharsky with us on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Speaking of that, got some tickets to give away to John Fogerty at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on July 25th. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see John Fogerty at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on July 25th. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.